Jesus is at another dinner today, and he eats with a wide variety of people, you know, sinners and tax collectors, and today's with the religious leaders and political leaders. They were some of the same people, you know. And Israel was a theocracy, although under the Romans. This is Jesus' third dinner with the Pharisees in Luke, and the other two dinners did not go well. So you have to wonder why Jesus is eating with these people again, you know. I don't think I'd want to come back a third time if the last two dinners went as badly as the previous ones did, you know. Jesus must have been somewhat uncomfortable, you know. Why do I say that? Well, it's funny. I had a very interesting retreat 2 years ago up with the monks at Lacey, Washington, and Father Conrad Schaefer of the formerly of Mount Angel Abbey gave this retreat. And each of the monks was asked to see what they noticed in the reading. And this is what we all should be doing when we hear the gospel. What little piece of it really spoke to you? Now, don't just rely on me to point it out. What did you hear? This is what we've been doing in Bible study. Well, when I read the gospel last Sunday, again, something struck me that had not before. And it was the line that said, as Jesus dined with these people, everybody was observing him. Talk about uncomfortable. How would you like to eat at someone's house while everybody's watching you? You know, it's like, okay, you don't really want to put food in your mouth and everybody's looking at you. And not only that, but they're also listening, not out of friendship. They're looking for things that they can afterward talk about him and use against him. People that did not like him, did not trust him. What if you knew that every word was being listened to and these people may actually want to kill you? This is what the kind of people Jesus was eating with. And what kind of a dinner is this? It's supposed to be a Sabbath, you know. The Jewish Sabbath dinner was supposed to be like Thanksgiving, you know. Everybody prepares the food the day before, and then when you sit down to eat, it's supposed to be a religious thing. You know, you're eating with friends and relatives, and you invite people over, and you have good conversation, and you're worshiping. It was a prelude to the Mass, the Sabbath, you know. And instead, Jesus is sitting there, but you know, Jesus is not the only one being observed. Jesus is sitting there observing them. And what does Jesus say about them? He says, when you invite go to a dinner, invite the blind and the crippled and the lame. And who is Jesus eating with, in fact? People that were blind, crippled, and lame. They didn't know it. And his enemies. He was eating with his enemies and doing what he's asked us to do. I wouldn't have had the courage to eat with these people, but Jesus did. But he's sitting there, and Almighty God is observing the dinner. Now, this is what he does in our lives. He's the silent guest at every conversation we have, every dinner we put on, everything we do. He's always present. We should never forget, Jesus is our silent companion. Sometimes we throw him out, but he's still around watching. And not as an enemy, but he does want to teach us things. And what he sees is people, instead of worshiping and having a very pleasant Sabbath, these religious leaders, no less, you know, bishops and priests of their day, if you will, were posturing to see who was the most important, who's going to get that seat with the abbot's table. You know, they have, when you eat with the monks, there's an abbot's table. You get invited up there. That's really something. Who has the most intelligence? Dropping little hints as to theological points and making posturing to look better. What a nauseating type of a dinner that is. Have you ever been to something like that? People trying to score points. Oh my gosh. It's been a long time. That doesn't happen much now that I'm a priest, but you know, I remember when I was working at the airline, I'm sure I mentioned this before, but I was at a dinner at somebody's home. I'd been to a lot of places. Of course, most of them were on passes with the airline, but they didn't know that. And I'm just sitting there listening to them drop little hints about where they'd been. Oh, when we were in the south of France. Oh, and we took this Caribbean cruise. And these days, that's not to impress anybody, but you know, 25 years ago, it was a little more impressive. Oh, haven't you been? I got so nauseated, I finally said, well, when I was in this, 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 and this, I didn't see that. That shut him up. And I didn't tell him that I am the pass writer either. But nobody's impressed with this kind of thing. When I went to my 10-year high school reunion, people were more into, I think, trying to show off a little bit. But, you know, I haven't been to the 40th yet, but it's coming up. And the 30th, nobody cared. We really did not care at all. We were just happy to see these people. Oh, are you still alive? You know, so, I mean, things change. And, you know what? God is not impressed with this kind of behavior either. Not one little bit. So we have to look and see who is Almighty, who is the Lord anyway. Jesus was this, he created everything. St. Paul says, both the visible universe and the invisible. We know that there are countless angels, as we heard in the second reading. The universe is so vast, far beyond what St. Paul would have realized. And who knows what else? And he becomes a human being to save us. Is that humility or what? So our Lord is looking for humility when he comes to dinner with you in your life. He's not impressed with anything else. Love, humility, patience. I put together a little examination of conscience. I normally don't read anything during my homilies, but I do want to use this. And it started out for Bible study, and then a lot of it comes out of my own life, and if any of it hits too close to home, it's purely not coincidental. So, let our Lord speak to you. I don't know how many people told me that I must have been listening in their home this week with these things, but anyway. These are ways in which we might see that we lack humility. Must I dominate every conversation that I am involved in? Am I just waiting for the next person to take a breath so that I can pop in and take over? Oh, boy. If I never go to confession, do I perhaps lack humility? Or is it that I don't sin? How do I react when I am extremely inconvenienced? This will tell you a lot about who you are. And we all have that happen to us. How about when my service at church is ignored or unappreciated or even criticized? Many here have had that experience if you've been here long enough. Do you quit? What if somebody says, "Let us pray," right in the middle of your pitch? Where's Karen? Yeah, hi, Karen. Are my words about others generally upbuilding or generally critical? There's the biggest sign of pride that you'll ever have in your life. Very hard to see it. What do I do when I run into road construction, freeway tie-ups, or farm equipment? It was the season for all three of those things right now. This is not a problem at this Mass, but I'm going to say it anyway. If Mass goes a bit long, do I walk out after communion in protest? That's pride. Or impatience, take your pick. There's a slow clerk at the DMV or the unemployment line. What do I do when I finally get to the front line? One person in the Bible study mentioned this, having been that clerk. I thought, wow. I lose my luggage. Where did that come from? When I'm ignored by somebody who doesn't answer my phone calls and doesn't respond to my emails. Am I overly demanding or unbearable when I'm sick? Must I always have my own way at home or at work or at church? How do I react when I'm unjustly criticized or slandered or calumniated? Or made fun of, or ignored? What about when I'm not invited to something I was expecting to be? When I'm passed over for a job or a promotion I felt I was more qualified for than the person that got it? When I do something nice and I am criticized for it? No matter how hard we try in this world, you can try to order your life perfectly. I finally got my computers back the way I want them, but I'll tell you something else is coming. Life is one obstacle after the other, and I'm finally beginning to figure it out. Thank God, you know. This is exactly what God wants for us. These are how we grow in patience, grow in humility, grow in love, grow in kindness, by obstacles. The Lord allows them on purpose, and He sits there eating with us, not to judge us, but to observe and give us help by what we hear at Mass. The second reading gives us a huge clue as to what's coming in the future. We're all going to be seeing this one day. I know it's hard to believe. We're approaching Mount Zion in the city of the living God with countless angels in festal gathering. Can't wait. Doesn't that sound wonderful? God, the judge of all, and the firstborn enrolled in heaven, the spirits of the just made perfect. That's us. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. But before we get there, we are this world doesn't believe it. We're all eternal beings. It is through Jesus that we are saved and go to heaven. There's an alternative choice. And while we're waiting for this, we live on this planet, born with nothing. We die with nothing except the love that we showed others and God. And in between there, we get old, we die, we get sick, we have inconveniences, we love, we have joy, we have good days and bad, people inconvenience us, sometimes we get our way. What's it all about? We have to learn humility. And God gives us this brief period of time in which the only time we have, He doesn't want anyone in heaven that's filled with pride. The first sin of our parents in the Bible was pride. The sin of the angels that fell was pride. He won't let us in with pride. So no matter what we become in the future, eternal beings like the angels, unbelievable power and glory that we can't even comprehend, that is waiting for us, we will never forget who and what we were, what we are, little bits of dust that God breathed into and gave life. And God gave us that gift at the beginning of our eternal existence so that we would always have humility in His presence, that we would never forget our place and would always rejoice that God gave us life. So I think that a lot of the obstacles we're experiencing in life are often meant for our healing and growth. We don't learn except through trials. And so our Lord gently permits this. And He comes and sits at every table, yours, mine, and of course here at the Eucharist where He teaches and feeds us. He waits for us to show Him humility. And to all who do, He exalts them forever.